Okay, hi there, and welcome to this special audio review of Flight Plan, directed by Peter Schwentke, or however the hell his name is pronounced, and starring Jodie Foster and Peter Sarsgaard and a bunch of other motherfuckers who should probably be stabbed and clubbed to death for their participation in this cinematic piece of Drek. Before we begin, few things. As you already noticed, there will be cursing, and also, this is completely off the top of my head, there will be no retakes, so you'll have to put up with my rambling or whatever, yada yada. I may trip over a few words, my apologies. And like I said, there may be rambling, maybe a lot of cursing too, which I mentioned, but maybe a whole fucking lot of it, because, I tried to do this once before. That was a lie about this being no retake kind of thing. Because actually the whole thing is a retake. Mostly because the last time I tried to do it, it kind of degenerated into me just saying, fuck, fuck, fuck a whole lot. Because for the past 3 hours, I don't know how well you can hear it now. Because I actually put in some earplugs and some earmuffs. And it's kind of blocking it out fairly well. But outside, they've been doing some sort of construction. Construction compounded, by the way, by a guy walking around blowing leaves with the leaf blower. You know how that sounds. For the past fucking 3 hours. I don't know how long he spent. It's a little cul-de-sac, but I swear he was out there by himself for 2 hours blowing leaves. And they've been doing construction since like 7 this morning. So it's really been as if someone's been standing in my ear for 4 hours, like, with his hands cupped, going, vroom. It's fucking irritating. Imagine how you'd feel. This might explain, you know, some of the anger, the cursing, yada yada. Also, behind the anger is the fact that Flight Plan was fucking terrible. I mean, with some movies, they tell you to leave your brain at the door, but this one made me wish that I'd been lobotomized before I even thought of setting foot in the theater. It's that fucking bad. Let's talk about the plot. The plot is fucking stupid. Story. Whatever. Jodie Foster, hereafter, I'm gonna refer to her as Jodie, because I'm tired of saying Jodie Foster all the fucking time. She plays an American woman living in Germany when her husband dies. So she and her 6-year-old daughter have to get on the plane and fly the casket back to the States for burial and a whole bunch of crying and shit. Unfortunately for her, her daughter is kidnapped during the flight. And apparently the airline has no records of the daughter ever having been on board. So she, this is Jodie, who conveniently happens to be some sort of airplane engineer in the film, spends the majority of the film running about the plane, getting into all the nooks and crannies, basically causing havoc, trying to turn this plane upside down to find her daughter. Okay. Did you hear that? I just bumped my knee. It's kind of painful. But, whatever. So there's that. But, her daughter is missing because there's a kidnapping conspiracy. What the fuck is going on? You know what? Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the racism in the film. Of course, since it takes place on the plane, and there's, you know, this woman causing havoc and shit, you've got to have the Arab scapegoat. And this is really a film that exploits the racist paranoia of the audience and everyone. It's terrible. Okay, so Jodie Foster, for no apparent reason, as she's running around the plane, well, there is an apparent reason, which I'm about to share, but she suddenly looks at this Arab guy, and she's like, I've seen you before. You were watching my house. It's you who took my daughter. And she literally pounces on him and scratches the shit out of his face. It's horrible. And later on, of course, this guy, who's innocent, by the way, doesn't really help his case out. But as Jodie Foster's running about the plane madly, we see this, by the way, from her point of view, he fucking pops up out of nowhere with hate gleaming in his eyes and body slams her. Really, he just fucking grabs her and slams her head into one of the armrests, leaves a big-ass bruise across her face, yada yada. And also, I mean, you can understand his feelings in doing this, because he's fucking pissed. Not only is this woman accusing him of stealing a child and scratching his face. Not accusing him of stealing, of scratching anyone's face, but of stealing a child. She scratches his face. But Jody also manages to turn all of the surrounding passengers against this poor guy. And they start, you know, standing up, yelling threatening remarks. It's really terrible. But the film is actually, well, the film is, of course, complicit in this. And I don't have a problem with the film having racist characters, if you know that is something that it wants to explore. Say in Crash, for instance. But this is a really superficial film. And it tries to get the audience in on it, too. Because the film does depict someone stalking Jody early in the film. Why am I saying film so much? Let's say movie sometime, huh? Anyway, early in the movie, this guy is apparently stalking Jody and her husband. And it's implied that, of course, whoever this person is had something to do with the husband's death. And then later on, as Jody is talking to her daughter in her daughter's bedroom, she looks outside the girl's window and sees these two Arab guys watching from across the way. Also, the next day, when they go to the cab to catch the cab to the airport, this Arab guy comes rushing out of the building almost as if he's been watching them and wanted to be in the same cab with them to case them out. It's terrible. And even when this guy is supposedly innocent on the plane, this guy and his partner, who also happens to be Arab, they happen to be seated across from two other Arab guys who are always in the background of the shot. Like, maybe it's really them, you know? It really tries to make you think that these Arabs have something to do with it. And now, if you actually have these racist fears, you might be like, oh my god, Arabs, you know, they're evil fuckers, and they're on the plane, you know what that means. But, me, it's just so transparent and superficial, it fucking pissed me off. I was insulted. Okay, so, if you weren't, fuck you. Also, anyway, this is one of those films, also, in addition to that, the story is so stupid. I don't know if you've ever seen a film like this. But when you're watching, and you're like, my god, this is fucking horrible. You're holding your head, you really, like, every impulse, your body just wants to get up out of the seat and leave. I really wanted to just get out of the theater, go to the bar that's, you know, a couple of stores down. This is a pretty big indoor mall in which I saw the theater. And they have all these food places in there, one of which has a bar in there. A nice bar, they've got some good drink specials. Anyway, I really wanted to get the fuck out of that movie and go drinks, wash the taste of this film out of my mouth. It was terrible. But really, as you're watching the movie, you know, I'm watching the movie holding my head, wishing I'd brought my watch so I could see how much fucking time I have to endure, you know, how much more of this shit is there. And I'm thinking, you know what? The only way that this movie could get worse is if this happened. And, you know, it's not like something like, you know, this would be fucking terrible if aliens hopped out of, you know, one of the one of the overhead bins and started fucking doing a musical routine in the aisles. Because that would, you know, bring the movie into camp territory, which would actually make it better. But no, this is the sort of thing like, you know, watch this horrible flight marshal. Who was played by Peter Sarsgaard. I'm going to call him Peter from now on. It's a terrible flight marshal. Okay, there's going to be a pause because someone's at the door. But yep, we will be right back. Okay, so the pause was edited out, and I'm back. And I was talking about Peter. Fucking Peter. This flight marshal. And when I say he's a horrible, I don't mean... like, he was such a bad person. I guess he was. But, no, I mean the acting. It was fucking terrible. Like, Peter should really have his ass kicked for this role. It was fucking terrible. I guess he was supposed to be, you know, trying to be this cold and emotionless kind of guy. But he really just was uncharismatic and boring. And he looked like he wanted to be asleep, you know. And I did, too, because... No, I didn't. It was too horrible to sleep through. That's the bad thing. There are some movies where, you know, they're just fucking boring and you can sleep through them and you're not offended. This was just a disgusting film. And not disgusting in a gross out way. I mean just the horrible racism, as I talked about. terrible acting. Terrible on his part. It was like, I don't know if you recall Felicity, the show Felicity used to air on the WB. Kind of like that show, at least for the first two seasons. But Scott Speedman, I forget who he was. I don't even remember his name on the show, but he was the guy whom Felicity was basically obsessed with. He was a fucking terrible actor. He just seemed, you know, like he was on drugs all the time, like he was high. And Peter in this movie was like Scott Speedman high, which is double high. It was fucking pitiful. Anyway, he's on there, and of course you're watching the movie with this fucker on there, and you're like, oh my god, the only way this can get worse and watch it happen is for him to actually be the bad guy, the one who's kidnapped the daughter. And of course it was him. The whole movie's like that, where you're just trying to come up with, you know, what is the worst thing that could happen to make this, you know, to make this movie more terrible than it already is. And that's the very next thing to occur. Pissed me off. So he is involved with this plot to frame Jody, make people think that she's a terrorist, that she's hijacked the plane, and is demanding a $50 million payoff to be put into this account, which happens to, of course, be his account. And that's his plan. And the whole plan hinges on, and here's where a bunch of the stupid shit is. It depends upon his ability not only to kidnap a 6-year-old girl on a flight with over 400 passengers and not have anyone notice it, but it also depends upon them not having noticed the girl on the plane at all. Because if, you know, they knew that the girl had been on the plane and she's no longer there, Jodie Foster wouldn't look crazy and wouldn't happen to, or wouldn't have to do all of this stuff herself to make it, you know, look like she was the terrorist, and therefore the framing plot wouldn't work. And that just struck me as fucking ridiculous. I mean, if I were sitting around my table of conspiracy and one of my evil buddies said, hey, Wes, I've got a plan to extort $50 million from, you know, such and such airline, I'd say, great, how do you plan on doing it? He says, well, first of all, we've got to kidnap this. Well, first of all, you've got to do a bunch of other stuff, including killing Jody's husband and getting explosives into her coffin. So you need, of course, the complicity of the funeral home director, which is more shit. You have to do all this stuff. And then when we're on the plane, we've got to kidnap this little girl so that no one notices. And we're also, by the way, banking on the, you know, probability, it's not a probability, but the probability that no one at all will have noticed this little girl on the flight. I say, you're fucking crazy. 420 odd people on that plane. And you mean to tell me that we're supposed to be counting on the fact that no one would have seen her, you know, walking by when they boarded the plane? You've got the staff. They stand there and greet the passengers. We would have to be banking on the fact, and he only had one other person in the staff, by the way, on his side. It's not like everyone was involved in it. But we would be banking on, you know, the hope that as Jody got on the plane with her daughter, she didn't look down at the daughter and say, go on, sweetie, say hi to the nice, you know, flight attendants, nice stewardesses, whatever. None of that. Not, you know, on the fact that the girl, or not on, on. We would have to be depending upon the fact. It's not a fact. We would have to be hoping against hope that that little girl, especially, you know, after her father just died, didn't break out crying on the plane, didn't scream when we reached for her to kidnap her, didn't do anything at all to attract attention to herself, and that none of the other passengers were paying enough attention to notice her presence, that, you know, the whole plan would go off without a hitch. It's a fucking stupid plan. Stupid. And I really couldn't believe all that stuff. So anyway, they also were depending upon, by the way, the probability. And again, it's not a probability, but they obviously assumed that it was because they went through the plan that Jodie Foster would sneak into the cargo hold looking for her daughter. And actually, get this, because somehow they set it up, or because of the complicity of the funeral director, they made it seem like the daughter had previously died and that Jodie Foster was psychotic and was envisioning her daughter, you know, still alive with her, and that was the cause of all this stuff. So they were banking on her going down into the cargo hold and opening up the casket to look and see if the daughter was inside there with her dead husband. But not only that, they were also banking upon her actually leaving the casket open as she left to do other things, which, by the way, you know, should the plane have encountered some turbulence, would have resulted in his dead body flopping all about the fucking cargo hold. They were banking on her leaving it open so that the flight marshal could later go down there and retrieve the explosives in order to rig the plane to blow up. It was ridiculous. Fucking ridiculous. Okay, so there was that. We've already touched on the racism. And also the end. Now here we've got dubious moral values being communicated to the audience. Now let's talk about this a bit, because a lot of films will do this. Like, you know, you'll see Batman rig it so that the Joker falls to his death. And Bruce Willis in Die Hard, you know, might blow up his enemy or whatever. And of course there are lots of sword fights where people get killed and whatnot. In this movie, Jodie Foster, though, has the guy beat. Okay, she goes down, gets her daughter out of the thing, sneaks around, doubles back, so that when he runs into the area where the daughter is hidden, which, by the way, also houses the explosives, he gets caught, and she slams the door behind him, and, you know, presumably locks it, so he can't get out. She's got him captured. The plane has already landed, all the passengers have departed, and they've got the FBI, the bomb squad, SWAT team. Everyone is outside on the runway waiting to find out what happens inside this plane. Because, of course, the other guy had framed her, made her look like the hijacker. And they had said that she would let the other people off, but she wanted the marshal to stay. And this, of course, would have been the part where he killed her, blew up the plane, and made it look like, you know, she was dead. He was a big hero when really he had pocketed all the money and all that other shit. How long have I been going? Like 20 minutes? This is crazy. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So she locks him in the hold and is ready to leave. This is crazy. Who's going to listen? It's 20 minutes. Sick. And so she's got him locked in the hold. All she had to do was take her daughter outside, say, look, I wasn't crazy. I really had a daughter. You know, and that fucker tried to frame me. You know, he tried to kill me and shit. He's locked in there with the explosives. She had also stolen the detonator from it. So, you know, here's the detonator, all this shit. Can we go home? You know, take my husband's body, get him fucking buried, yada, yada, yada. No, instead, she says, nope, gonna blow you up, and blows him up, which is understandable, seeing as how he tried to kill her and her daughter. I mean, I can understand her feelings, but there was really no need to blow him up. I mean, that was just right there. What that appealed to was not, you know, the desire that all of us have to see justice served. That appealed to our desire to mete out revenge in the, you know, cruelest way possible through our own deeds. And of course, since she didn't have the time sitting there and torture him brutally, she just figured, what the fuck, I'll, you know, explode. We'll just make him explode. That would be fun. That would be, you know, just. And it wasn't. Situations like that, you know, you have to let the law step in and do their job. I mean, imagine if Spider-Man, instead of webbing up thugs for the police to find later, just blew everyone up with a spider tracer, like the Punisher. I mean, you can like a guy like the Punisher, but you have to understand that the Punisher is skating into some morally, you know, questionable territory. And in this one, with a mother doing that, yeah, he murdered her husband, all that other shit, but it just struck me the wrong way, like just about everything else about this film. Oh, and also at the end, I especially liked how, after this happens, instead of, you know, like, there's a movie, movies like Seven, for example, where the same kind of thing happens, you understand that that's not the right thing to do, and the movie doesn't end with everyone grinning like it's okay. In this one, she steps off the plane, you know, the music swells, and they're like, oh, it's so wonderful, you know, she really did have a daughter, she wasn't crazy. Yay for her, you know, hooray. And at the end, it's really, again, fucking pathetic. the Arab guy whom she had jumped on and scratched and who had later body slammed the fuck out of her is the one to put her bag in the van and, you know, give her the little nod, like, actually, you're okay. I'd have been like, no, you're not fucking okay because you're racist and you got all these other people to indulge their racist tendencies. And fuck, what are we on now? 20, we're almost at 25 minutes? I don't know. This is crazy. We should stop now. Anyway, if you've listened to all of this, I'd like to thank you for bearing with it, because it's crazy. You know, this is very long. Hope you got something out of my rambling review. And, yeah. But flight plan, don't see it. It's fucking terrible. Write letters to your congressmen. Tell them that movies like this should not be allowed to air in the theaters, because this is really, I don't mean that, by the way, about writing into your congressman. Of course you knew that, but just in case you didn't. But I really think this is the worst Hollywood production I've ever seen. And it appalls me that anyone is out there saying that this is a good movie. That this is a remotely good movie. It makes me fucking sick. Actually, the reason I ended up going to see it is because I went with someone else who was influenced to go. Because all of this person's friends were like, oh my god, it's the greatest movie ever. Thank you for telling me that it was released. You know, Jodie Foster is the best. Fuck Jodie Foster. Fuck Peter Sarsgaard. Fuck Robert Spanky or whatever the hell his name is. Fuck everybody who had anything to do with this movie. Fuck all the extras who, you know, played passengers on the plane. You know, I say you know a lot, apparently. Fuck all these people. Fuck them. Fuck everyone who thought that Flight Plan was a good idea. Fuck me for going to see it and giving them any money whatsoever. Fuck it. This is horrible. Don't watch it. And thank you. Good day.